You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Each week, the JX looks around Southern Oregon and Northern California to learn about one city or town in our listening region. Today, we're talking with Betty Keeley. She's the mayor of Oakland, Oregon. Welcome to the Exchange, Mayor Keeley.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, here in Southern Oregon, we have a town called Phoenix, which can easily be confused for the city in Arizona. And when people hear the name Oakland, they likely think of the California city by the bay. But you're in Oregon, right?
Yes, yes. And we're the other Oregon, the better Oregon.
Tell me about your town.
Better Oakland, yes. Well, we're very small. We have about 950 people. We're a functioning town just like any other town. We have our own utilities. We have a wonderful group of like 11 employees. So we're very small, very small.
Where are you located?
All the projects. We are, I always tell people we're between Sutherland and Cottage Grove, but it's usually they go, where's Sutherland? So I say, well, it's Roseburg and Cottage Grove.
Okay, so you're north of Roseburg.
Yes. Off I-5. We're not on the freeway, so that's why people don't know about us very much, I think.
Well, I was surprised to learn that Oakland has been around since the 1800s.
Yes. Actually, 1852 was when Dr. Dorsey Baker established his first mill, and that's the town grew up around that operation, and we became incorporated in 72. So it took a little while to get to the incorporation, but it was, we were pioneers here.
Well, that's funny because I think Oakland in California was incorporated around 1852 as well.
Well, there we go. See, we're just twins. We did move, though, however. When Oakland was first established, it was about a mile and a half northeast of where we are right now. And a gentleman, Alfonso Brown, decided that he would buy property along where the railroad was going to run. And he invited people to move their buildings down to this current location. And they did. So they actually moved the entire town from one location to another on rolling down on logs and with oxen. So it was quite an enterprise at that time.
That's amazing. You moved the entire town.
Entire town. And when he finally got everybody down here, he petitioned the post office to call it Brownsville because, of course, he'd done all the work. And they said, nope. If you guys want a post office, you have to keep the name. So that's why it's called Oakland Post Office, and that's why we're Oakland.
Okay, so originally, why was it named Oakland?
There were oaks where they first established the town.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Your town is on the state's historic register. What does that mean?
Well, we actually were the first on the state historic register. We have a downtown area that was built in the 1800s. And well-preserved buildings, and a group of citizens here petitioned the state to become an historic district. The National District was also established prior to that. So we do have a designation as an historic district, and we have rules that we are required to follow for the buildings within the district. And sometimes that's a very combative, I would say, is basically what it is. People move and think they can do anything that they want to their property, even though they're told you're in the historic district. And then our historic commission, which was established with the historic district, has to come out and say, hey, you can't do that. And people are not very happy about that, but we need to preserve our historic district because that's really all that Oakland has as a calling card to the rest of the world.
Well, I know that's one of the challenges that Jacksonville here near Ashland and Medford. Jacksonville has that same historic registry, and they have to maintain a lot of different structures a certain way in order to, preserve that history. What does that take to do that?
Well, usually what we do is we advise people at all stages of their purchase of property, but mainly at the time when they sign up for their water. We have our clerk in our city hall explains that they are in a historic district, if that's where their building is, and that they have rules that they need to follow in order to make any changes to the exterior of the building. And we have a little guidebook that tells you what you can and cannot do. And then there's a design review that they need to go through if they want to make a change to the exterior. We really have no control over the interior of the buildings, so that they can do almost anything in the interior as long as it doesn't affect the exterior of the building.
Okay, so the exterior stay looking like the 1800s, but you could walk inside and it's 21st century.
Sure. You could put anything you want into, especially for restaurants. You know, you've got to have current equipment you can't even open. So we have a couple of places that serve food, and they had to do what they needed to do to get their restaurants open. So, yeah, the exterior of the buildings are not supposed to be changed at all.
Now, is that the whole town or is that just the downtown district?
Our district is kind of wonky. It, at the time that it was established in 69, there were different buildings within the district area that were manufactured buildings. So the district goes somewhat around those buildings. So it kind of zigs and zags through town. But the entire downtown is in the historic district. Few homes on the outside of the area are. I have an 1884 home, and mine is in the district. There are several on my block that are, and several of the other residential blocks are also in the district.
Now, as a historic town, do you get a lot of visitors?
We do, and that's the reason, because we have historic structures that they can look at and go into, and we used to be an antique hub, but our antique dealers have kind of faded away a little. We do have a few still people who are selling antique things, and so really we were on the antiquing trail at the time several years ago, probably 20, 25 years ago, and that particular interest has stayed.
My guest is Betty Keeley, mayor of Oakland, Oregon. So, Mayor, where'd you grow up?
Salinas, California. I'm a California transplant, which, you know, I sometimes say to people, why don't they just go back to California when they want to do things that are California stuff? But then I have to look and say, okay, I don't want to do anything to change our town or the area, because that's why I moved here. And it always amazes me why people buy things and go, oh, gosh, we need sidewalks now. We don't need sidewalks.
Well, when did you move there?
About 21 years ago.
Why did you move there?
My husband passed away, and we had some property in Colorado, and I couldn't move there by myself. So I said, I got to get out of California, which was the best move I ever made. And I was looking for a place, and my sister was with me, and she said, when you drove into this town, your eyes lit up. I knew this is the place you're going to live. So that's why I'm in Oakland, and I really didn't want to live in California any longer. So. That's the place I picked.
There's a river there, isn't there?
It's a creek. It's Calapooya Creek, and it's a delightful little creek. It is muddy most of the year, and they used to call it, the high school kids called it Calapooya Coco, because it's always brown. And it's our water source, which is another challenge for our town, the only water source we have. And it's had some tragic things happen to it over the last few years. Our whole town has, everybody's had some real critical things happen to them. The snowstorm did some damage to everything in town, practically. And then the fire, Archie Creek fire, although it didn't hit our town, we didn't get anything burned. It burned the entire watershed for the Calapooya Creek. And what that did was it uncovered all kinds of new things to deposit into the creek. And our poor water plant was built years ago and was not built to handle all of the new stuff that's going into the water. So we've been working with FEMA since, 2015, actually, to get our water system back to where it should be, where it was pre-disasters. And so it's been quite a battle, and we have a fabulous public works director who is just determined to get it done. And he's has saved our town many times.
Well, you say that you've had multiple tragedies. We're talking spanning from snowstorms to fire. And both of those have impacted your water infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
there's a cost to that with less than 1,000 people. How do you manage that?
Well, if we had not sought funding from FEMA, we would have already been bankrupt. But that's what our public works director did. He went straight ahead, and he is now well-versed in FEMA. And he actually gets calls from many places to tell them how to negotiate and navigate through the FEMA rules and how not to be disappointed every minute you turn around. We appreciate FEMA for everything it's done, but it's been a long, hard pull to get what we needed to get. And we're still in the middle of some of our projects.
Well, water is obviously a vital resource. What's the timeline?
Well, we fortunately, because we have our public works director, he is able to produce good water with all of the obstacles by we have an account with FEMA, which I don't know if you know FEMA lingo or not, but we have the B category, which is emergency help to make things good in the short term, and then you get a different category for the long term. We're working on the long term. They're paying for us keeping our water drinkable out of this B category until we can get the F category going.
Okay.
So it's a challenge. I don't know if you know FEMA or not, but it's definitely its own world. And we're so glad we have our public works director, Jim Hart, who is just versed in it. He is so good.
Well, how long have you been mayor?
Actually, I moved here in 2006, and I was elected to city council in 2007. And so that was 2 years, and then from that point forward, I've been the mayor for about 17 years.
Wow. What prompted you to run for office in the first place?
Well, when I retired, I said, I'm going to volunteer. And I took a look at the city council when I first got here, and there were two people on council. And these two ladies did not get along. Oakland was the laughingstock of the county, and the city council meetings were just a screaming fest the entire time. And I said, something's got to happen here. And so a group of us ladies got together, and we decided we would run for office. And so we did run, and was an all-woman council, which I think was probably the first one in the state. And we started working on getting some problems solved for the city. And one of our big ones was our police department. We had a rogue police chief, and we needed to get him out of the area so that he wouldn't cause any more trouble, and we could keep our insurance. So that was our first big project, and I was heading up that particular movement. And so now we have a Sutherland Police Department is our police department. So it's Sutherland Oakland Police Department, although it's not on the cars like that, but they are our police department, and we're so very happy to have them.
And you're in Douglas County?
Yes.
Now, I understand that a couple of Hollywood films were shot in your town in the early 90s.
Yes. Fire in the Sky was the big one that everybody remembers. There was one previous to that, which was called The Grand Tour, but few people remember it, and I don't think you can even rent it anymore. But it's Fire in the Sky had James Garner in it, and that's probably why it's well-remembered. They took over downtown. Some of the merchants were very upset about that, but they lived through it, and they filmed a large portion of it here in Oakland.
Well, what are you most proud of?
I've done several things, and some of them were just I got to pick it up and do it myself. But the thing that I would say is hiring Jim Hart as our public works director. We have, I just can't explain how much turmoil would have happened if he hadn't been here. He's like a godsend, and we're training some young people because he's getting older now too, just like the rest of us. And we're we can't pay much because we're a small town. So we have to find people who are very interested in staying in a small town and doing small town work.
And he saved the town, and you don't want to have to move it again.
No, we don't. And we don't want to just abandon it. You know, it could be abandoned. We have periods in this town where all of the downtown shops or majority of the downtown shops are closed, and then there'll be a little boom, and then there'll be a little bust, and it'll be a little boom. It's kind of a typical Wild West town, really.
We're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Mike.